You're listening to sermons from Christ the Savior Orthodox Church. We're a small but growing mission of the Orthodox Church in America, currently meeting in Brewer, Maine. We'd love to have you join us for service, but until then, here's Father Scott with this week's sermon.
All that wisdom sound of light, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
Our
readings from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist, St. Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. As I said right after the service today, we'll break down everything and then go bless the waters and then go back and eat on the other side. So we will need to move around a little bit at the end here. May God bless us in that. I want to speak just a few words on baptism today because obviously we're celebrating the Lord's baptism in the Jordan. I think one of the major trends in the non-Orthodox Christian quote-unquote world is this denial of the unity of the spiritual and physical worlds as being united in some way and connected. Instead, what they have is they have these dualistic and Gnostic tendencies today, and they plague all the denominations out there. So what they do is they begin to accentuate the invisible spiritual world, and at the same time ignore the material physical world as the place where the Spirit of God functions. Yet our Christian faith, the Scriptures, and the life of the Church see no such limitations. God works everywhere. In every place, seen or unseen. An example is the Holy Spirit. It says in Scriptures descended at Pentecost. And there was a herd of visible, and there was a herd of sound, the mighty wind blowing as it were. And then also there was a visible tongues of fire which sat down on the apostles' heads. Of course, in the Scripture we hear Balaam's donkey speaking. Obviously donkeys can't speak. So God spoke through the donkey. A manifestation of the work of God in the physical world, clearly. Of course, when the Lord walked this earth, he healed bodies and souls, both, as he went about his business. And at baptizing of himself, the Lord revealed his own baptism that the Holy Trinity is fully present. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ, was in the water, the sound of God's voice saying, This is my beloved Son, and of course, the Spirit in the form of a dove. The interaction between these two worlds is real. And as Christians, we accept that. And so we need to understand that God is fully active in the material world. And he doesn't think the material world is somehow second place. It's important to us to know that, to understand that. And understand that baptism, therefore, is not just a physical act of descending to the water, but it's a spiritual act, too, where both things are performed, an invisible and a visible action. And we have to remember that that invisible action is the work of the Holy Trinity, wherein we're cleansed in baptism by a washing of water, yes, but the Spirit of God also makes us new creatures before God. There's a new birth there. There's a visible entry into the church, yes, but there's also an invisible entry into the kingdom of God. And so we see this interplay of visible and invisible benefits, if you will, to the work of God in the physical and the immaterial world. Every single one of the holy mysteries has this interplay, this interaction between the invisible and the visible world occurring. Grace is invisibly paired with physical action. And so we see there's benefits in both, but both exist in material and the material blessings. Chrismation, marriage, unction, ordination, the Holy Eucharist, confession, and of course baptism all have these attributes. Remember just for an example, in ordination where Paul said to Timothy that he would not neglect the gift which it was in him by the laying on of hands. So there was a gift, a spiritual gift bestowed. At the same time, there was a physical activity and occurrence that went on. Perhaps I think one of the things that disturbs people about the idea of invisible grace occurring in visible actions is the repetitive action of it. In other words, how each person can experience this. I guess there's connections to the spiritual realm and to a regular activity, if you will, in certain things in the scripture that we can see is evidence that God works repeatedly. Remember the pool of Siloam, that the first person to be dipped in was blessed with healing. And so that was a repetitive action that occurred many times. People waited for it. And we see there that God bestowed a blessing on somebody. The Holy Spirit entered the visible world and began to work at a regular time. And isn't it interesting also that healing, that particular one, was connected with water, being a type of baptism. Healings also were performed regularly by the apostles. It says that they coveted to be under the mere shadow of the apostles. As they passed by, they'd experience healing. The fact is that God does work both outwardly and inwardly through the holy mysteries. He does so in baptism in a way that is proclaimed by the church every single baptismal service. Of course, it's proclaimed also today in the great feast of Theophany. And there's multiple references in Holy Scripture and the writings of the Holy Fathers that God is working invisibly as well as visibly. So baptism, along with the other mysteries, is not just a symbol, but it's our actual unity with Christ. And it's a spiritual healing that cleanses us and establishes us before God. That's a mystery that we can't see. What we can see is that we're admitted to membership of the physical church, but we can't see that inward selection of God that also occurs. We need to understand this, and we need to understand it and know it by faith, and also understand that any position that attacks this truth is attacking God's truth. It's attack upon God and his truth when people deny the efficacy of baptism as a birth into the kingdom. They're attacking God, and they say that. I think just because God isn't visibly seen doesn't mean he's not working. And I think every Christian knows this by their own personal experience of their life and faith. Things have happened to you, if you've been a believer for any length of time, in which you can see God's hand working. Even though he's not seen, you can see how he enters into your life, into the visible, physical, temporal life that you have. So I guess our problem really becomes in connecting the liturgical acts that we go through to spiritual gifting and spiritual blessing that occurs in this mysterious side of the mysteries. Why do we have this problem, I guess, of understanding that the gifts of God are connected to outward actions? Why do we have that problem? I think the problem is because so many out there today that bear the name of Christ are refuting the idea that the holy mysteries are anything but just a symbol. They say that the mysteries are futile, and at best, I think they're symbolic in their minds of the reception of God's grace, but they don't really confer any of God's grace. Well, as I'll briefly show you in just a second, the scripture is full of truths and direct statements that refute the ideas that these erroneous heretics have, I would say. Scripture is full of these things, where God enters into the physical realm. Think about Naaman the Syrian. He was told to go wash, again, a type of baptism, in the Jordan, and be healed. Well, of course, we see that he came back and he said after that he would offer offerings to no other god. And he asked for an excuse if he went into the temple with his master, that he might be excused from that, knowing that there was one God. He received a spiritual healing and a physical healing at the same time. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, And those merely looking were healed. So, the same way, God honors those and commands us to be baptized. But he gives us a blessing, both an outward and an inward one. Simply put, the scriptures are clear. We are added to the church by baptism. And we're added to both the visible and the invisible church. For that, baptism is the doorway to both. 1 Corinthians 1 says this, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit." Very clear statement. How about this one, Acts 2:41, regarding entry into the church. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls." Very clear statements that baptism is an entry into the kingdom, into God's church. Baptism washes away sins. I love this one. It's very clear. Acts 22:16 said to Paul through the lips of Ananias, who was speaking on command of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ananias said this after having had it revealed to him by God. He said to Paul, he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How about this? The idea is that we put on Christ. We just sang it today. Instead of the Holy God, we sang as many as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. That's a quote from the scripture, from Galatians 3:27. So those that want to minimize the importance of baptism for spiritual rewards and spiritual blessings do wrong against the scriptures that they claim to uphold. There's many other aspects that we could go on all day, I guess, about the twofold nature of baptism that are evident through the scripture and that are echoed through our divine services. Like I said, we just sang scripture. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Right? So baptism is not, neither are the other holy mysteries, just an outward act or a symbol. They are these, but they also confer spiritual benefits and changes that are not visible, yet they're still revealed as real. But they're unlocked by faith. So we have no faith, we don't see it. "Let no one rob us of this truth." And I quote 1 Peter, "Baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God." You know, washing away of the filth is a physical act that actually occurs when you go into water, right? But better than that is the real action, the real spiritual, invisible action of the Holy Spirit, which cleanses us and purifies us even to the very depths of our individual consciences, where we can stand before God with a clear conscience, forgiven, pure before him. That's where God is communing with us today. He's showing us the beauty of baptism as an inward and a real spiritual act, and also a physical one which we enter into as we come into the church. May God bless us today as we bless the waters, and may we reflect on our own baptism as a place where truly the Holy Spirit works on both our inner and our outer man. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can listen to more sermons and learn more about us by visiting our website at orthodoxmaine.org. Thanks for listening, and until next time, God be with you.